Hey. Oh, welcome world to another episode of the APE Academy podcast. I'm your host with the most, Mr. Chase H. Of course, I'm going to do my quick introduction. I am a historian of 19th and 20th century America. I am a University of Virginia and Arizona State alumni, PhD student at the University of Houston, and I am an entrepreneur, father, and husband. We are live with another great episode of the At Protect Engage Academy podcast, APE. Hope you enjoyed this episode. APE. All right, here we go. We are jumping right in with our housekeeping. Quick shout out to freebeats.io, royalty free beats on YouTube. They are the best source for free beats, royalty free, obviously, all different genres, jazz, blues, hip hop, hard rock, heavy metal, everything you may want in a soundtrack, in a background soundtrack, background music, beats, you can find. All right, check them out. All right, housekeeping as usual. The first thing that I ask is that if you could, please follow our podcast or subscribe to our podcast, same thing. If you do that, you will receive notifications. What does that mean? Well, that means that you'll know when a new episode is streaming because you'll get a notification. All right, so when you're sitting around watching 600 Pound Life, watching the NBA, you might hear a chime. Bing! That's on your smartphone. You look down. You see that banner across the screen, whether it's on the top of the screen or on the bottom, it'll say APE Academy streaming now, right? A new episode is streaming. You'll be the first to know. Also, if you have a few minutes, can you please rate or review us? Okay, so the rating, obviously, you know, out of 5 stars, be honest, it helps us in the rankings. It helps us kind of gauge where we are, what we need to improve on. And then, of course, the reviews are essential because that helps with the audience feedback. We are able to make improvements, you know, add different subjects, different content, maybe make some changes, make some improvements. All right. Or it could be encouragement to keep going. So we appreciate all your feedback. All right. We are on social media. That is the new way of marketing. That is the new yellow pages. Like when I was growing up, the white pages and the yellow pages, I'm obviously dating myself badly, but that's how you advertise now, right? No longer. No newspapers, no yellow pages. It's all on social media now. So if you could follow us on IG, Instagram, at Ape Academy Podcast. That is my personal as the host page. We just started a new official page for the actual podcast. So it's not about me at all. It's not showing things about my personal life. Is strictly about the content. There's some exclusive stuff you can't find on here on this platform. It's a.p.e history pod. All right, a.p.e history pod. Okay, that's on Instagram. TikTok, we are at Ape Academy Pod. Also, we are working on a organized, well produced YouTube page. So I think I have some videos floating around of some old things I've done. But we're going to organize it. We're going to get that ready. All right. So that's enough of that. Let's talk about what we're talking about today. As you know, we've been talking about Black History Month. It's Black History Month. We're talking about the African-American soldier in combat, our contributions to the American cause, right? African-Americans have fought in every major U.S. conflict from the American Revolution to the Global War on Terror, right? We're still in the American Revolution. We're going to finish up the American Revolution today. Obviously, there's not enough time in this podcast format. I mean, I could have a 3-hour podcast, but no one, of course, would listen to the whole thing. So we try to break it down. I'm talking about the 1st Rhode Island Regiment, i.e. the Black Regiment, right? One of the first integrated units in the United States Army, all right? So we're going to continue this conversation. I have a few different sources I will put in the show notes. A great historical, history-based podcast will always kind of show you where they're getting their information from, all right? If you don't see sources in historical podcasts or a book or even a novel, then you should look at it kind of side-eyed, like, okay, where are you getting your information from? All right, so we'll put that in the show notes. All right, so first things first, today's episode is called Black Revolutionaries, Patriotic Spirit, all right? Patriotic Spirit. First, I want to read a quote, and this kind of will set the stage for the rest of the podcast. Quote, "It was not for their own land they fought, not even for a land which had adopted them, but for a land which had enslaved them, and whose laws, even in freedom, oftener oppressed than protected. Bravery under such circumstances has a peculiar beauty and merit." End quote. And that quote is from Harriet Beecher Stowe, who is, of course, the author of the world-famous Uncle Tom's Cabin. And she wrote these words in October of 1855. All right. And, of course, she is talking about the courageous and self-sacrificing African-American soldiers who really weren't promised anything. They were promised their freedom if they fought, but there was no promise that they would have equal rights. There was no promise that they would even win the war against England. All right, so we're going to go into this. I'm going to be referencing what one scholar has described as the, quote, "first substantial historical work by a black man in America." Of course, we're talking about William Cooper Neal, who's the author of The Colored Patriots of the Revolution. He was an African-American abolitionist and civil servant from Boston, Massachusetts. And I'm going to use his work heavily because it's still the American Revolution isn't even 100 years old when he wrote The Colored Patriots of the Revolution. So a lot of the memories are still fresh. There's still American Revolution veterans still alive at this time in the mid 1800s. They're really, really old, but there's some that are still alive. Okay. So at the onset of the Civil War, Mr. Cooper vigorously encouraged the acceptance of black soldiers into the Union Army. He died at the age of 58. His most famous work, Colored Patriots, was originally published in 1855. The book is outstanding, and it's an invaluable resource and perhaps the most authoritative work on black soldiers in the Revolutionary War, even to this day. In the last episode, we left off at the death of the 1st Rhode Island Regiment's beloved commander, Colonel Christopher Greene. But I really want to backtrack a bit in this episode. I want to talk about life in the regiment a little bit, how the soldiers were recruited, and discuss their well-documented heroics in combat against the British. So I'm going to focus on Rhode Island, the Rhode Island Regiment. I'm also going to zoom out a little bit and talk about kind of like some of the stories of black patriots early on in the war. All right. I think it's really, really cool, first of all, because everyone loves, you know, war stories. But also, I think it really shows like how integral African Americans were in just the nitty-gritty fighting on the ground. And a lot of them don't get any credit for their heroics. They were gradually written out of history. So that's the purpose of our series, is to kind of dig up these stories and shine some light on them. All right, so during the war, men served in various ways, of course. Often they began as young volunteers in a local village or town militia unit, similar to our National Guard today, but on a much more localized rather than a statewide scale. Okay, so we're talking like, I live in River Oaks in Houston, so it would be like a River Oaks militia, right? Like that's kind of how it was organized. When I was active, I knew a lot of National Guard. Actually, I still know a lot of National Guard soldiers. And just think of it like that. Like, obviously, the National Guard is on a state scale, right? So it's kind of bigger. But, you know, they meet one weekend a month to do their drill, and then they do a three-week field training exercise a year. And that's kind of how these these Revolutionary War Minuteman units, they call them Minutemen because they could be called on in a minute, and they were just regular people, right? So this is how kind of the American military was organized at this time, right? Many of these militiamen enlisted in the Continental Army as the war progressed, and were eventually promoted to junior officer positions. Of course, this was not the case for black or indigenous peoples, who for years could only serve in local militia, right? They could not get promoted. They could not join the Continental Army. But once they were allowed to join, New England states contributed the largest portion of blacks to the Continental Army. According to the Museum of the American Revolution, quote, "A report of those returning from leave in August 1778 records some 755 black soldiers scattered over 14 brigades. None of these soldiers were ever promoted past the rank of private. Think about that. There are 755 African-American soldiers, even in 1776, serving, and none were ever promoted. So they really had no chance of advancement within the military, but of course, they still volunteered in pretty large numbers. Oh, and I want to say this. Now, there is a, I think maybe a popular belief that slavery only existed in the South, right? Yes, after a certain time, it did, because all the northern states eventually abolished slavery, right? But in this period, the slavery was still north and south. It was only 13 colonies, and there was slavery in almost every one, right? Pretty much everyone. Now, obviously, in varying scales, right, there was more slaves in the South because of the agriculture. This would come a lot later, of course. But slavery is pretty common, right? It was pretty common to see slaves in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, etc. All right, let's move on. The Continental Army maintained a detailed roster / muster rolls for each unit. So they were really good at you know, tracking their personnel. That's the one thing the Army has always been good at. According to these documents, only a handful of men of color deserted the regiment after it was integrated with the 2nd Rhode Island Regiment. Historians have also shown that of the 58 slaves of African or indigenous descent who escaped captivity between 1774 and 1783, 12 appear on the muster rolls of the 1st or 2nd Rhode Island Regiment. At least three others appear in muster rolls of sister units in Massachusetts or Connecticut, who also allowed blacks to enlist, and these states were following Rhode Island's lead. For example, Cato Brown of East Greenwich served in Rhode Island and Connecticut regiments. Sambo Brown deserted Nixon's brigade in 1776, but appears later in the record of Connecticut men in the military and naval service. An indigenous man named Anthony Jeremiah served in a Massachusetts regiment, where he was dubbed Red Jerry by his fellow soldiers. Most men of color who enlisted in a Rhode Island regiment served five-year enlistments. In his path-breaking book, The Negro in the American Revolution, historian Benjamin Quarles notes that, quote, "The New England states, despite their relatively small Negro population, probably furnished more colored soldiers than any other section," end quote. Charles explains that once enlisted black soldiers were, quote, "less inclined than white soldiers to walk off without official leave." So he's describing black soldiers, right, their service. "They were not likely to have a farm that needed protection, nor the kind of home that inspired homesickness. They had less to desert to." Most white soldiers who served in these integrated units also served for long stretches. For example, men like Thomas Mitchell and Joseph Dexter, both fifers, so they were both like flute players, and Thomas Stafford, a laborer, served in the regiment until the end of the war. Interestingly, other than angry slave owners who did not agree with offering legal incentives for slaves to escape, there is no record of public outcry against integration in the Army. I found this really surprising, but we could not find, doing our research, any like regular people saying, "Blacks should not be here. We do not like serving with them." You will not find that in a historical record. Most of the outcry came from up top. There is no records of fights or disciplinary problems sparked by the presence of African Americans or indigenous soldiers in the ranks. According to another historian, quote, "The common white New England soldier seems to have accepted blacks. The objections to the black presence came not from the rank and file, but from the highest levels of policymakers and politicians. The men on the ground did not mind serving next to African Americans." And I think this is because chattel slavery had not really taken effect yet. And we can talk about this in later episodes, but once the cotton gin is created about 20 years later after the revolution, now there has to be a reason to justify the mass enslavement of an entire group of people, right? And so these racist kind of stereotypes really start coming heavy around this time when cotton blows up. But remember, this is before cotton, so there wasn't as much of a stigma with the African-American soldier serving next to a white soldier back then, all right? Okay. Blacks were enlisted and accepted in Minuteman units, of course, across New England, even before they were officially integrated into the Continental Army. As stated earlier, on a local level, there existed an established precedent of African Americans answering the call to action against the British, in some cases with even more zeal than their white neighbors. More blacks, for example, responded to Paul Revere's alarm. Also, black soldiers played critical roles during the legendary engagements at Lexington and Concord on April 19, 1775, and at Bunker Hill on June 17th of that same year. One black man, Peter Salem, he so distinguished himself at Bunker Hill that he was presented to Washington personally. He had a personal audience with the esteemed legendary general himself. One historian says or describes Salem as an figure out of American lore. That is high praise, all right? An expert marksman, Salem enlisted in a company of Minutemen from the town of Framingham, Massachusetts. He saw action in skirmishes around the Lexington-Concord area, where he familiarized himself with the enemy, learning of Major John Pitcairn, the commanding officer of the British Royal Marines based at Lexington Green. At Bunker Hill, Pitcairn was leading a charge on the American defenses when Salem shot him dead. He was a sniper. He was a hot shot. These actions earned him the respect and admiration of his comrades. Alas, much like many black pages during the Revolution, he served throughout the war, yet died in abject poverty, and his fame was, quote, slowly and deliberately extinguished. Renowned painter John Trumbull, known as the Painter of the Revolution, depicted Salem wielding a musket in his famous painting, The Battle of Bunker Hill. In 1855, historian William C. Neal reviewed published engravings based on Trumbull's work that were produced for the popular market, and he noticed that in older reproductions, Salem, quote, occupies a prominent position. But by mid-century, the African-American hero had disappeared completely from the scene, right? So in the beginning, you know, popular memory of wars and different events are a really funny thing, right? The closer you get to the war, the more honest people tend to be, right? You know, but as time goes by, all of a sudden people start forgetting. The Revolutionary War veterans start dying off. And now all of a sudden, oh, you know, black people weren't really involved. All the veterans knew that black folks fought with them in the American Revolution. But of course, as they start to vanish, all of a sudden the popular narrative changes, right? And that's the thing about history. You really got to dig deep, and that's why I enjoy it so much. All right, we're going to take a quick break, 30-second break, get some water. We'll be right back. Ape. This beat is fire. Hey. All right. That was, what, like 20 seconds? All right, we're back. We're going to talk about bravery under fire. That's what people really want to hear about, right? Like, Chase, just be quiet. Let's talk about war. Let's talk about the battle, the war stories. All right, I got a few for you. All right. In a lecture in Cambridge, Massachusetts in 1864, a local historian, Samuel Abbott Smith, told the story of another courageous black Minuteman. Smith recollected that when the alarm sounded that British troops had attacked Americans at Lexington, 12 exempts, i.e., men exempted from military service on account of their age, showed up to fight anyway, spontaneously formed a unit, and chose for their leader David Lamson, a mulatto, who's half black, half white, who has served in the French and Indian War, a man of undoubted bravery and determination, end quote. The young Minuteman took up a strong defensive position behind a stone wall and, hidden from view, waited to ambush the approaching British column. When an enemy supply column finally passed, Lamson called out to his men and they rose up with muskets at the ready. The British tried to escape, but the Minutemen fired a devastatingly accurate volley into their ranks, killing two British soldiers instantly and wounding several others. And, you know, this story is cool, and I'm retelling this story to emphasize the point that within the first months of the Revolution, African Americans fought on their own volition, spontaneously joined the Patriot cause, and thus organically integrated the army. To finish up this episode, I want to retell one more story that highlights the bravery and devotion of black soldiers fighting for the Patriot cause. The following is extracted from a speech delivered in 1842. Remember, I said there's still some Revolutionary War veterans alive. I mean, they're really old, but they're still alive around mid-century, mid-19th century. So this speech was delivered in 1842 to the Congregational and Presbyterian Anti-Slavery Society, and it was delivered by a Dr. Harris, who was a Revolutionary War veteran who fought in Rhode Island on the front lines in fierce combat as part of a unit responsible for protecting the American flank. His unit repulsed a determined British advance three times. He goes on to say this about the 1st Rhode Island Regiment, known as the Black Regiment. Quote, "There was a black regiment in the same situation. Yes, a regiment of Negroes fighting for our liberty and independence. Not a white man among them, but the officers, stationed in the same dangerous and responsible position. Had they been unfaithful or given way before the enemy, all would have been lost. Three times in succession, they were attacked with most desperate valor and fury by well-disciplined and veteran troops, and three times did they successfully repel the assault and thus preserve our army from capture. They were brave, hardy troops. They helped to gain our liberty and independence." That is a really, really amazing quote, and that just shows you that black soldiers were highly respected at the time by their comrades at arms. Okay, now much later, they were written out of the story, but they were there and they were brave, and they fought despite not having any promises of equality. They were still second-class citizens, but they still sacrificed their lives for a cause, for the lofty ideals of the American Revolution. And that is what I've been trying to, that's kind of like, if you get anything out of this, these last two or three episodes about African-Americans, African-American soldiers, I have to say, in the American Revolution, just know that they truly embodied the patriotic cause. They embodied what was written in the Declaration of Independence. All right? So that's really my main message. This is all, man. This is all we got today. All right. I know the Super Bowl's later. You know, we got to watch our guys, but I just want to give a little bit of history. I want to make sure that we understand that African, there are more African-American achievers and leaders than just the ones we see in the textbooks, right? The Malcolm X's, the Martin Luther King Jr.'s, the Harriet Tubmans, the Frederick Douglass's. Those are all amazing titans, but they're ordinary soldiers, ordinary men on the front line that will never get as much recognition and were just as brave, but in different ways. All right, if y'all are hungry for more info about African Americans in the American Revolution, I will list a few great sources in the show notes, as I said earlier. Also, once again, be sure to check out our social media pages, because we constantly post exclusive content that isn't available here. This is a podcast platform, so you can't put everything on a podcast. Once again, we're on IG at Ape Academy Podcast and A.P.E. History Pod. Those are two separate profiles, but they are both us. We're also on TikTok at Ape Academy Pod. Also, you can access our official website via IG. It's in the links in the show notes. Next episode, we'll be discussing African Americans in the War of 1812. Right now, that's a war that's often overlooked, right? You know, and there's this joke, right? And, you know, maybe I shouldn't say it, but whatever, I'm gonna say it, that black folks don't like water and we can't swim. Well, in the War of 1812, there were a lot of black sailors who fought bravely against the British on the open sea. All right, so that's a fascinating story. We're gonna get into that. All right, we're highlighting the contributions of black soldiers in major American conflicts up to the Vietnam War. Thank you so much for joining us. Woo, that be hit. We'll be back in about 2 days. I try to do a podcast every 2 days, depending on my schedule. All right. God bless y'all. Put God first and your family. Stay vigilant. Stay safe. God bless y'all. Ape out. Hey, let's rock out. Let's rock out a little bit. Oh.